plan to double settlements in the occupied Golan Heights draws strong condemnation from Hamas. COVID-19 cases hit record highs in Europe as the World Health Organization warns of the high overall risk of the Omicron variant. Also in the headlines, China accuses the U.S. of irresponsible and unsafe conduct over close encounters of American satellites with its space station. Welcome to the program. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas slams Israel's latest settlement plans in the occupied Golan Heights as a new act of hostility against the Arab people. Hamas spokesman denounced the plans as a violation of international law that further exposed the regime's expansionist policy. Hazem Qasem, however, said Israel will never succeed in changing the Arab identity of the occupied territories. Earlier, the Arab League warned Israel over its settlement plans in the occupied Golan Heights. The organization said Israel must stop its settlements, or attempts, I should say, to change the demographic makeup and the legal status of the territory. The regime is planning to double the number of Israeli settlers in Golan by building thousands of new units there. Palestinians have rallied in Gaza to protest Israel's inhumane treatment of female Palestinian prisoners incarcerated in Israeli jails. They also slammed the international community's failure to support the prisoners. Our correspondent Ashraf Shannon reports.
Hundreds of people demonstrated in Gaza City in solidarity with female Palestinian prisoners inside Israeli jails. Protesters marched towards the Legislative Council building while shouting slogans against Israel and expressing their unwavering support for the prisoners. In recent weeks, Israeli forces increased their attacks against Palestinian female prisoners. The issue of female Palestinian prisoners is highly emotive to all Palestinians. The protest was organized by the Al-Ahrar movement. Palestinians believe that Israel can only be forced into releasing Palestinian inmates under prisoner swap deals. In late 2011, Hamas and the Israeli regime signed a prisoner swap deal under which Israeli soldier Gal Shalit was released in exchange for over 1,000 Palestinian prisoners.
The Zionist enemy must understand that the issue of Palestinian female prisoners is a red line that must not be crossed at any given time. Attacking and humiliating Palestinian female prisoners will not go unpunished. The Israeli regime will have to face all the consequences of attacking the female prisoners. As we stand here today, we say to all Palestinian prisoners that the resistance factions will always support them and that we will soon liberate them from Zionist jails.
Palestinian prisoners, including females, are kept in 24 Israeli prisons and detention centers and are being subjected to torture and psychological pressures by Israeli prison authorities.
The Zionist regime is trying to commit genocide against Palestinian prisoners amid the silence and normalization of Arab regimes. We call on all Muslims to stand by Palestinian prisoners because Palestinian prisoners are fighting for a just cause. We have also sent a strong warning to the Zionist enemy over the issue of female Palestinian prisoners.
According to legal experts, the Israeli regime has long regarded itself above international laws and norms due to the protection it enjoys from some countries like the United States.
People here are demanding international action to support Palestinian prisoners' struggle for freedom. Israel currently incarcerates some 5,000 Palestinian prisoners, including scores of women and children. Ashraf Shana, Gaza.
COVID-19 infections hit record highs in European countries amid growing concerns over the fast spread of the Omicron variant. France has reported nearly 180,000 new cases, Europe's highest single-day tally. The country will implement new restrictions from January the 3rd. In Britain, officials logged over 129,000 new infections, excluding cases in Scotland and Northern Ireland. The government, however, says it does not plan any curbs for England before the new year. Daily infections also hit a record high in Italy, where outdoor public events and parties are banned until the new year. Germany and Finland have also tightened COVID curbs. Meanwhile, the World Health Organization is warning about the very high risk of Omicron strain given its growth advantage over the previous dominant variant, Delta. Well, at the beginning of this year, many hoped that life would return to something resembling normal, but 2 years into the coronavirus pandemic, masks, lockdowns, and social distancing measures are still in place. A global vaccination campaign has been underway, but people are still suffering from the spread of COVID-19 across the world. New virus mutations are emerging, and an equal vaccine uptake is preventing a global recovery. Here's a report on the pandemic and its impacts on the world in 2021.
2021 started with many people expecting a return to normalcy, but the coronavirus pandemic continued to blaze across the world. Over 274 million COVID-19 infections and more than 5 million fatalities. That's how this year is wrapping up, with the United States, Brazil, Mexico, the UK, India and Russia named as the world's worst affected countries. This year, the world also struggled with the emergence of new variants of the novel coronavirus. In May, the World Health Organization named a new highly transmissible COVID strain previously detected in India as the Delta variant.
Delta variant is well on its way to becoming the dominant variant globally because of its significantly increased transmissibility.
6 months later, another variant with a large number of mutations stoked global fears.
So today, we are announcing B11529 as a variant of concern named Omicron.
This is while questions about the origins of COVID-19 still remain in place, following a series of inconclusive investigations by experts. But the highlight of the year was the authorization of a number of COVID-19 vaccines. As of December 2021, more than 4.4 billion people across the world were reported to have received at least one dose of a COVID vaccine. However, the distribution of these vaccines was nothing close to fair. While concerns over waning immunity prompted many countries to administer third and booster shots, people in some parts of the world fell victim to a strike and divide. Low-income countries were the recipients of less than 1% of vaccines administered in the world. And while hundreds of millions of people were left vulnerable to this deadly virus, some simply chose not to get vaccinated.
No more shots!
We don't want no shots!
They turn us into mutants. They inject microchips in us.
The opposition was not only against vaccines. Many took to the streets, sometimes violently, to protest prolonged lockdowns and restrictions.
Oh, I just feel that it's gone too far with the lockdowns and the levels and constantly being put into these positions.
It's tyranny. That's what it is. Absolute tyranny.
And at the center of all this was a negatively affected global economy. Despite signs of some imbalanced economic recoveries, many regions, including Europe, suffered record inflationary pressures. Border controls and travel curbs dealt a blow to international trade and tourism with an unprecedented attendance-free Summer Olympics. The service sector was hit hard, and so was the labor market, where many were either left unemployed or unwilling to return to their pre-pandemic jobs. Moreover, a surge in demand for a broad range of products caused supply chain backlogs. But again, low-income countries with low vaccination rates were disproportionately affected by the economic consequences of the pandemic. The World Food Program estimates that nearly 272 million people are already or are at risk of becoming acutely food insecure by only the end of this year. The world heads into 2022, while doubts linger on about the duration and the magnitude of the impacts of COVID-19. Nevertheless, the disastrous consequences of this pandemic have been a wake-up call, highlighting the many flaws of the global system. According to the WHO, the world's most vulnerable people are left without vaccines. Health workers are left without sufficient equipment to save lives, and the growing me-first mentality is preventing the solidarity required for dealing with a global threat.
Ending the pandemic is not a matter of chance. It is a matter of choice.
Therefore, in order to go back to a normal life, the world needs to adopt a unified approach and remember that nobody is safe until everybody is safe.
China condemns the U.S. for close encounters of American satellites with its space station, calling it irresponsible and unsafe. The Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesman says the U.S. is posing a serious threat to the lives and safety of astronauts by turning a blind eye to its international obligations and responsibilities. Earlier, Beijing submitted a note to the United Nations holding Washington responsible under the Outer Space Treaty for the conduct of all U.S. entities, including private ones. The U.S. has not directly responded to China's criticism, but says it has encouraged all countries with space programs to be responsible actors. Beijing says its Tiangong space station has had to maneuver twice in the past year to avoid collision with American satellites. U.S. President Joe Biden has signed into law the $778 billion defense bill for the fiscal year 2022, after Congress approved a hefty military budget than the White House had requested for. While the budget shows a rise of around 5% on previous year, it allocates billions of dollars for strategies to confront Russia and China.
The United States has approved its biggest defense spending bill in history, allocating $778 billion for the fiscal year 2022. President Joe Biden signed the National Defense Authorization Act into law on Monday following Congress approval. The proposed defense spending is up about 5% compared to the previous year. However, the surprising part of the story is that Congress has allocated about $25 billion more for the military than the Biden administration had requested for. The budget allocates over $740 billion to the Pentagon, while nearly $28 billion would go to the nuclear weapons program. A good portion will be spent on hypersonic weapons and other advanced weaponry, raising the fear of another arms race with Russia. It ensures that the U.S. gives around $3.8 billion to Israel as part of its annual military aid to the regime. But around $7 billion of the hefty defense budget is for what the U.S. calls the Pacific Deterrence Initiative, a plan to strengthen America's presence in the Indo-Pacific region against China. That also means an open call for support for Taiwan, which China regards as its own territory. The budget also envisages $300 million in military aid for Ukraine, which has been a source of tensions between Russia and the U.S.-led Western military alliance, NATO. Many experts believe that Washington's claim of defending Taiwan or Ukraine are just pretexts to make the U.S. military-industrial complex more profitable.
The military industry, military-industrial complex in the States, it really controls the economy. This idea that America's trying to defend Taiwan or Ukraine, these are just pretexts for the profits of the industrial, military-industrial complex.
According to data released by the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute in April, the massive U.S. military budget was by far the largest in the world in 2021. That was more than the budget of 11 other developed and developing countries combined. That despite the fact that COVID-19 forced many countries, such as South Korea and Russia, to shift part of their planned military spending to pandemic response. Critics argue that the unwarranted increase in defense budget could instead be diverted to address more urgent domestic priorities, such as social injustice or fighting against the pandemic. The critics also say that the budget is more than enough to vaccinate everyone in the world. In July, an anti-war group, Code Pink, warned that the proposed $25 billion hike in the Pentagon budget alone could end homelessness in the United States. The group accused lawmakers of trying to increase the profits of military contractors than meeting the needs of working class. The approved military spending bill also represents a bump from former President Donald Trump's last budget of $740 billion, which was then criticized by Biden's fellow Democrats. Upon entering the White House in January, President Biden had pledged a massive overhaul of U.S. strategy toward the world to make it a better place. However, Biden continues to follow Trump's aggressive and warmongering policies, as the National Defense Authorization Act reflects that billions of dollars will go for the U.S. unending wars across the globe.
The United States admits that Iran has achieved military superiority. Washington's regional ally Israel, which used to threaten the Islamic Republic with military action, is now acknowledging that it will not say no to a, quote, good deal with Tehran. More in this report.
On January 3, 2020, the United States assassinated Iran's Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani alongside the deputy commander of Iraq's Popular Mobilization Unit Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis in a drone strike at Baghdad Airport. 5 days later, Iran launched a barrage of ballistic missiles at Iraq's Ain al-Assad airbase housing U.S. troops in retaliation for the assassination, leaving scores of casualties. This is what head of the United States Central Command has told a New Yorker journalist about the strike on Ain al-Assad airbase.
They hit pretty much where they wanted to hit. They can strike effectively across the breadth and the depth of the Middle East. They could strike with accuracy, and they could strike with volume.
The American general has admitted that Iran's missile capabilities have given the Islamic Republic overmatch, a military term meaning a level of military where the country can overwhelm the enemy by a significant margin. Iran showcased that military prowess during the five-day military drill in the south of the country that wrapped up on Friday. During the practices, the Islamic Revolution Guard Corps simulated a retaliatory strike that targets Israel's Dimona nuclear facility with 16 ballistic missiles and several drones. Chief of Staff of Iran's Armed Forces, Major General Mohammad Bagheri, says the simulation was not for show, explaining that the missiles are capable of piercing through Israel's missile system, dubbed the Iron Dome. Israel has long advocated for and threatened military action against the Islamic Republic, stressing that no deal is a good deal with Iran. Now, in an apparent shift of stance, the Israeli Prime Minister says he's not opposed to what he calls a good deal between Iran and the P4+1 in Vienna. Israel accuses Iran of seeking nuclear weapons, an allegation Tehran vehemently rejects. The Islamic Republic says it will never start a war, but notes that any possible aggression against Iran will be met with a crushing response.
This is IRIB English Radio. With you early in the morning. With you at midday. With you till the night's end. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Farm workers in the U.S., especially immigrant workers, have few protections. They were excluded from the National Labor Relations Act passed in 1935 and the Fair Labor Standards Act of 1938. Workers in America's agricultural fields are regularly subjected to abuses ranging from high occurrences of sexual assault and harassment, weight theft, and safety issues including injuries, fatalities on the job, and exposure to hazardous chemicals. In this regard, we have prepared an article for you written by Michael Sainto under the heading, A Lot of Abuse for Little Pay, How U.S. Farming Profits from Exploitation and Brutality. The article was published by The Guardian Daily. Please stay tuned. In June, a farm worker from Mexico who requested to remain anonymous for fear of retaliation was transported through a trafficking network from Monterrey to work on farms in Georgia. They paid the traffickers 20,000 pesos, about $950, loaned from their mother, taking frequent trips back and forth to Monterrey before being told it was safe to leave. They were finally transported across the border. Initially, the worker was told they would be working on a blueberry farm, but was sent to a corn farming operation instead. The worker said, "We arrived at the house where we would live and had to clean the rooms ourselves. There were roaches, spiders, mosquitoes, and the mattresses were covered in lice," adding, "The bathrooms and showers were dirty and clogged. The kitchen was horrible. We had no air conditioning in hot weather." The worker began work daily at 3 or 4 a.m. local time and worked until 3 or 4 p.m. with just one 15-minute lunch break, making just $225 for 15 days of work. They heard rumors that the contractor had several workers die under them. The worker claimed that Haitian immigrants were also brought into the same network. After 20 days at the corn farm, the worker was sent to a cucumber warehouse where they weren't paid anything for their work, and then transferred to Texas before escaping the operation and returning to Mexico in July. The worker added there was a lot of abuse for little pay, adding it was a total fraud. Contractor, the worker said he worked under J.C. Longoria Cancer, was one of 24 defendants indicted on federal conspiracy charges in October based on findings from a multi-year investigation into a massive human smuggling and labor trafficking operation based in southern Georgia that extended to Florida and Texas. The indictments characterized the operation as modern-day slavery, a long-standing issue in the U.S. agricultural industry, where workers were smuggled from Central American countries to the U.S. and imprisoned as contracted farm workers. Farm workers in the U.S., especially immigrant workers, have few protections. They were excluded from the National Labor Relations Act passed in 1935 and the Fair Labor Standards Act of 1938. Workers in America's agricultural fields are regularly subjected to abuses ranging from high occurrences of sexual assault and harassment, wage theft and safety issues including injuries, fatalities on the job, and exposure to hazardous chemicals. The investigation Operation Bloomberg Union found the conspirators forced workers to pay fees for transportation to the U.S., food and housing through the H-2A work visa program, while withholding the travel and identification documents and forcing them to work for little to no pay in inhumane living conditions. According to the investigation, the 24 conspirators made $200 million from their operation, laundering the money through land, homes, over a dozen vehicles, and the purchase of a restaurant and a club. Over 100 workers were freed from the operation. The H-2A visa program is an often used avenue for exploitation of migrant workers in the U.S., as it ties immigration status to employment on a temporary basis with no pathways to permanent citizenship. Many of these workers are forced to take on debt to recruiters to enter the H-2A visa program, with several cases of debt, peonage, forced labor, and human trafficking reported through the program. Daniel Costa, Director of Immigration Law and Policy Research at the Economic Policy Institute, said it's really the structure of the program that facilitates this kind of stuff happening often with impunity. He cited a severe lack of labor law enforcement in the agricultural industry as a driving factor in widespread abuses of workers and the lack of regulating recruiters outside the U.S. who connect migrant workers with temporary jobs. Inspections conducted by the Wage and Hour Division of the U.S. Department of Labor declined significantly over the past few days due to underfunding and the low number of inspectors responsible for overseeing a vast number of employers. wants to add that if you are an agricultural employer, there is only around a 1% chance that you will be investigated for anything in any given year or so. They can pretty much get away with not treating your workers the way they should. The workers were threatened with deportation or violence if they did not comply with the conspirators. The indictments include allegations of raping, kidnapping, and threatening or attempting to kill some of the workers or their families, and in many cases sold or traded the workers to other conspirators. The indictment said at least two workers died as a result of the living and working conditions, and another was repeatedly raped. Some of the workers were promised up to $12 an hour in pay, but instead were ordered by armed overseers to dig up onions by hand for $0.20 per bucket. A grand jury indicted the 24 conspirators in a federal court in Waycross, Georgia, on counts including forced labor, mail fraud, witness tampering, and conspiracy to commit money laundering. Arraignment in the case were scheduled for December 21st and January 6th at the Southern District of Georgia Federal Courthouse in Waycross, Georgia.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us ponder on a wonderful aphorism from Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Incapability is a catastrophe. Endurance is bravery. Abstinence is riches. Self-restraint is a shield against sin, and the best companion is submission to Allah's will.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents. For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir la'in ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We are looking at justice from the perspective of the Commander of the Faithful, Commander-in-Chief, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salamullah. Amir al-Mu'mineen, when he was a governor and when he was a leader, and he was chosen by people themselves. He was not being in an election. He did not force himself into people. He was not appointed by his previous khalif. Rather, it was the choice of the people collectively, not just four or six, not by one. Even though he was the commander of the faithful appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what can we do when people themselves, they want to be misguided? When people themselves, they wish to suffer. They left him alone. But now they're stuck. So they came to him, they chose him as a khalifa. They choose him as a khalifa, and they knew who Ali is. They knew the justice of Ali. Yet they had the audacity to come to him, and they ask him to seek wealth and to do injustice. So they came to him and they asked him to do certain actions that he rejected. And he rejected those who advised him to seek support by doing injustice and inequality to the Muslims over whom he was chosen as a guardian. They wanted him to fight Muawiyah in the same way that Muawiyah fought Imam Ali, by being a treacherous, by being deceiving, by cheating. This is not Ali alayhi salam. That is Muawiyah. That's evil. How could you dare ask Amir al-Mu'mineen to abide by these treacherous ways? Amir al-Mu'mineen rejected alayhi salam. In response to those who objected to his just distribution and wanted more property, referring to Umar's favorism to Arabs over non-Arabs, he said, "By Allah, even if it were my property, I would distribute it equally amongst them. How would it be when the property is theirs?" Now, before the Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi, those who preceded him, they divided the wealth based on lineage. They divided the wealth based on whether you're an Arab or non-Arab, based on the fact whether you're a servant or a free man. That's injustice. This is not Islam. So Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi, when he was asked to divide money and wealth in the same manner that was done before him, he said, "Wallah, even if it was mine, I swear to Allah, if this was money, the money was mine, I would be fair and equal to people, all of them, regardless of their nationality, regardless of their background, regardless of their color, if it was mine. How about when the money is actually theirs? Under what circumstances, under what conditions, under what rule do I have to favor Arabs over non-Arabs?" That's not justice, that's not Islam, and most certainly that is not Ali alayhi salam. So he rejected and he refuted what they offered him by saying something in return. Let us take a break, then we will continue inshallah.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. You are listening to the program For Humanity, and we are looking at justice from the perspective of the commander of the faithful, chief and master, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salamullah. When he was asked to divide money and obviously distribute it based on the fact there are Arabs and non-Arabs, and Arabs should get bigger, more share than non-Arabs, he refuted their argument by saying, "To distribute wealth among those who do not deserve it amounts to squandering the wealth. The Holy Quran also says, 'Do not squander wealth wastefully.' The Sequenders are indeed Satan's brothers, and Satan is ungrateful to his Lord. So Amir al-Mu'mineen says, if I give my money, or if I divide money unfairly, I'm going to give people more than what they deserve. And when they have more than they deserve, they will waste it. And if they waste it, they will become brothers to the shaitan, because this is what the ayah in the Quran said. So you can see that the justice of Imam Ali alayhi salam, him and the Quran are one. When he talks, when he delivers, when he argues with people, he argues based on the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is trying to apply the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which makes me wonder, where was the Quran when those who preceded Amir al-Mu'mineen were dividing wealth on their families and on their close relatives? Where were they from the Quran when one of them died, they had to break golden axes from his treasury? Where were they from the Quran when one of them, when he died, he had piles and piles of money and gold? Where were they from the Quran where Muawiyah and his household were giving a massive portion from the Muslim treasury because he was related to one of the successors or the so-called khalifs of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This is not me saying. You can pick up any history book and see what has happened. Where were they? Where was the Quran? Where was the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Where was justice? It did not exist. Justice only saw the day of light when Ali alayhi salam was in power. The only time justice flourished when Ali alayhi salam was a governor. Justice only was applied when Ali alayhi salam was a ruler. Now, if you want to see the face of justice, go to Ali alayhi salam. Look at his life, and you cannot miss it. It doesn't matter who you are, a Muslim, non-Muslim, atheist, polytheist, monotheist. When you look at the justice of Ali, you will be amazed. You will be astonished. You will be out of breath, to the point that even Christians wrote many books about Ali alayhi salam and his justice, because he's the only human being after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that managed to give justice its true value. We leave it here, and we will continue in episodes to come. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
صل يا ربي على طه الأمين رحمة أرسلته للعالمين وعلى آل النبي أجمعين فبهم نرجوك أحسن ختمنا.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
The school in Spain is offering students an opportunity to join a special orchestra. The project dubbed The Music of Recycling brings unwanted junk back to life by transforming them into musical instruments. And here is how they sound. The project offers the instruments to the orchestra in one of Madrid's most disadvantaged neighborhoods. The students say the orchestra keeps them away from mischief and out of serious trouble while giving them an artistic outlet. Several dozens of children are taking music classes from members of the orchestra as part of the project. The ensemble has put on several concerts across Spain, but because of the pandemic, they had to pause their performances. The project is run by a Spanish environmental group and is inspired by a similar orchestra in Paraguay. most people, an eggshell is something that gets tossed in the garbage, but to one Chinese artist, the delicate eggshell is the chosen canvas to express art and create many masterpieces. Zhu is a talented craftsman who has created a series of unique egg sculptures with the theme of Beijing's Winter Olympic and Paralympic Games. Icons of ice and snow sports, as well as etchings of the 2022 Olympic mascots, are showcased in this series. The thin and delicate texture of the shells adds to the difficulty of the craft, which creates a sense of fragile beauty. Zhu says his fascination with eggshell art started when he was very young.
The Christmas season is when people around the world left out a dose of joy in the form of Santas. But it's different in central Thailand on this Christmas Eve. Thai children were ecstatic to see Santa Claus's distributing presents, but this time in the shape of elephants. Dressed in Santa costumes, five elephants carried dolls, face masks, and sanitizers for students. They were surrounded by many human Santa Clauses as well. But the students cheered with joy while reaching out for presents from the jumbos. Event managers say their goal was to encourage students to stay vigilant during the pandemic. Plus, they wanted to give the children some fun to look forward after months of virtual classes. The event is a yearly highlight for a school that caters to students from kindergarten to secondary level.
Scientists have made a stunning discovery inside a fossilized dinosaur egg, an embryo that's been preserved in a perfect shape. The embryo was found inside a 66-million-year-old fossil in a museum in the Chinese city of Guangzhou. Paleontologists say it's the best dinosaur embryo ever found. They're hoping it would help a lot in finding the links between modern birds and dinosaurs. The fossil belongs to a toothless Oviraptorosaur, a group of feathered dinosaurs that used to live in what's now Asia and North America. The embryo is nicknamed Baby Yin Liang after the Chinese museum that houses the fossil.
After almost 2 years of isolation due to the coronavirus pandemic, Mexicans are once again celebrating Christmas together in a fair in the capital, Mexico City. Here's more.
It is a joy that we've been planning for a long time to go out and to take this picture because we've been locked up for 2 years and we couldn't go out. Now there's green light. We decided to go out with the whole family to live these moments together.
A few things are different in the fair as far as Mexican tradition goes. Santa, and not the traditional three wise men, give out presents. Families also have their photos taken by the Father Christmas. These are rare moments amid the coronavirus pandemic. The attendees say the situation is complicated, but they will try their best to make it work. The festival has been made possible by the introduction of green passes, which indicate full vaccination against COVID.
Exchanging gifts is an inseparable and also the most joyful part of Christmas traditions. How about sharing the joy with animals? Now, a zoo in the Colombian city of Cali is doing so by giving presents to its animals. The presents are actually the animals' favorite foods served in a different way. Animals spend time unpacking the gifts decorated in Christmas theme and then access the food they like the most. Fitting in this way arouses the animals' curiosity and fills them with excitement. Zookeepers say they want to show that animals always receive care at their zoo.
It is a very cool way to generate empathy for visitors. Although animals do not know that it's Christmas or that it's a special date, it is important to generate that message in visitors that we make care of our animals, and that for us it is important to share with them this Christmas season.
The zookeepers say they make use of enrichment strategies for their initiative, They actually stimulate the behaviors of a range of animals, even the species they keep in an aquarium. Running a marathon is pretty tough for most, but a group of people has upped the ante to take the competition to sub-zero temperatures of Antarctica. 62 people descended on the Union Glacier from around the world and ran over a 42-kilometer course. The area is just a few hundred kilometers from the South Pole. Soft snow and temperatures as low as minus 15 degrees Celsius did not stop Latvia Evia Rain from setting a women's record. The event was delayed for several days because of a massive storm that battered the area a week ago. Adventurers and athletes have been putting their strength to the test in the race every year since 2005.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A tiny baby mouse deer takes its first steps into the world with a round body and spindly legs in a Polish zoo. It was born on December 2nd and now stands roughly 10 centimeters tall. The Warsaw Zoo got its first mouse deer last year and the second one last summer. Zoo staff are surprised that the pair of new arrivals have produced offspring so quickly. Mouse deer are among the smallest mammals. Even as adults, they only weigh around 2 kilograms. Contrary to their name, they are neither from mouse nor from deer species. Some mammalogists consider them living fossils because they haven't evolved much over millennia. Beachgoers in Brazil's Rio de Janeiro have been surprised by very rare visitors, a family of orcas. The family of three was seen swimming in shallow waters of a crowded beach south of the city. The group didn't seem to care at all about the presence of people on their paddleboards. Footage of the orcas quickly spread on social media because they don't usually come that close to the coast. A local biologist says the whales were likely to drawn. They were likely drawn to the area by a cold current from further south.
What we see in the video is a family group that has a male and a female who have a calf. It is common that the orcas come from a colder current where there is also a shoal, and they reach the south, the north in fact, and end up hitting our coast. Then they rest in warmer waters such as Copacabana Beach, Ipanema Beach, and Barra da Tijuca.
The biologist says the mammals pose no risk to humans despite the label killer whales. He says there is no record of their attacks on humans. Researchers suspect that the migration patterns of whales could be influenced by climate change and the resulting changes in water temperatures. Serving customers in a high-tech way. That's what a traditional restaurant in the German state of Bavaria does. What's the goal? The owner explains.
We decided ourselves for this robot because of the lack of staff. We looked for support in a technological form. It's not a replacement, of course, but it's a relief for the waiters.
The robot is equipped with a trolley and it can easily move around in the restaurant. When it comes to saving time, the high-tech waiters is of great help, especially when the restaurant is packed with customers. The owner says most customers first become surprised when they come across the robot. He says waiters are still present to serve meals and receive orders. But butterfly gardens are a place where you can watch these tiny creatures and marvel at their beauty. But have you ever wondered where these butterflies come from? These colorful creatures are in fact bred in butterfly farms. And Donald Orsay from Costa Rica is one of the biggest breeders, making that the mission of his life. He produces somewhere around 2,500 pupas per week. Orsay is one of the world's largest exporters of the popular Morpho species. Listen to him explain why he is fascinated by them.
A morpho has a great advantage. It is a butterfly that rarely stays still, unless it is very late, because when it is getting dark, it settles down, but normally it flies constantly. It flies by in the butterfly gardens.
Arce's butterflies have their own special diet. They feed on bananas and a concoction that he keeps its ingredients secret. Morphos are popular because of their color. They are shimmering blue on one side and brown on the other side. That's perfect for camouflage. Butterflies are really fun to watch, but they serve a critical purpose as well. They help plants reproduce by pollination, thus strengthening the ecosystem.
A few hooks and a shelf have transformed a wall in the Swedish capital, Stockholm, into an outdoor charity. It's called the Wall of Kindness, which is painted with the slogan, "Grab a jacket if you need one, leave a jacket if you can spare one." Here, people can donate their winter clothes or warm boots if they have some extra. The Wall of Kindness is meant to help those in need, including the homeless, to stay warm. The wall was set up by a real estate company, and the organizer says people have responded positively with the high turnover. The move was inspired by a trend that has been seen in Iran over the years. Several other countries across the world, such as India, have also organized similar outdoor charities.
Scientists in Brazil have come up with a creative way to shore up the population of a majestic species of monkeys in danger of extinction. Brazilian conservationists have constructed a bridge to reconnect the two sides of Rio de Janeiro's Atlantic Forest. The road had effectively isolated a group of lion tamarins, but now it offers hope for the endangered monkey. There are only 2,500 golden tamarins left in the wild, all of them in Brazil. It is estimated that these animals have lost more than 95% of their habitat.
Childhood joy and lightness meet with art at the first of its kind museum in Rome, Italy. Here, all kinds of art decorations are made of balloons. The exhibit, dubbed Let's Fly, displays a broad range of interactive artworks. In one installation, visitors are invited to find their inner child by diving into a pool of hundreds of small balloons. In another section, giant inflatable sculptures double as a playground for kids. Some installations move only by riding a bicycle. The museum is a place where artists and spectators coexist for a journey into a world of inflatable art capable of freeing the imagination of all ages.
It's the combination of art with childhood and adolescence that makes this place so magical. So they are art installations, but also games. The blurred line between the two is what makes the museum so unique.
The balloon exhibit incorporates innovative works created by 14 different artists from across Europe. The artifacts were created using hundreds of thousands of biodegradable balloons. The organizers say they want to increase environmental awareness by being eco-friendly, as all the artworks will be reused or recycled. The exhibit will run until March the 5th.
As people around the globe are preparing for the New Year holidays, the Vatican lights up the Christmas tree and nativity scene set up on St. Peter's Square. People gathered around the square waiting for long hours to see the illumination. Even heavy rain did not stop them. That's why the official lighting ceremony was held inside the Paul VI Hall, where Pope Francis presides his weekly audiences. The nativity scene, made of more than 30 pieces, is created by Peruvian artists. The majestic Christmas tree is about 28 meters and comes from Andalo, northern Italy. The locals see the stunning tree as a symbol of hope and peace. The tree will be switched on every night until January the 6th.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
In the limelight.
In portraying the Zionist settler colony as a democracy with alleged human rights and coexistence between various religions, the Israeli regime has attempted to whitewash its genocidal oppression of Palestinians in the eyes of the West. We now present you an article written by Danijal Yejik, a writer and researcher currently based in Beirut, Lebanon. He has a PhD in American Studies. The article is titled, "The Apartheid Regime's Christmas Propaganda and Oppression of Palestinian Christians." People around the world are celebrating Christmas. Occupied Palestine, the birthplace of Christianity, remains under brutal Israeli apartheid occupation. Meanwhile, the Israeli regime targets Western Christians and with Zionist propaganda. The Israeli propaganda apparatus, Hasbara, has long invested large amounts of money and significant public relations efforts in legitimizing the Zionist settler colony in the eyes of the international audience. In portraying the colony as a democracy with alleged human rights and coexistence between various religions, the Israeli regime has attempted to whitewash its genocidal oppression of the Palestinians in the eyes of the West. As a result of propaganda attempts by the child-killing Zionist regime, many Christians in the West either ignore the plight of the Palestinians or provide outright support for the Israeli apartheid regime. Evangelical Zionists in the United States have been amongst the most radical supporters of the Israeli regime. Christian tourism has contributed to the colony's economy. This year again, Zionist politicians and officials have extended their holiday greetings to Christian friends around the world. Such greetings are packed with colonial propaganda and appropriation of history. The Zionist regime Prime Minister Naftali Bennett published a video on Christmas Eve this year from the occupied city of Al-Quds, connecting the ancient land and the Bible to the current colony in his address to Christians. Naftali Bennett, who previously bragged about how many Arabs he killed in his life, lied that the